and everybody here. This is a fun one for me to do, but it is a scary one to do. As I was riding my bike this morning, way before dawn, even before sunrise, I have very bright LCD lights, LED lights. Yeah, they let people know, so there's really just deer and cops out then. So that, I like that. And occasionally a drug dealer goes by. I was thinking, we're talking about trials, we're talking about tribulations, we're talking about troubles, we're talking about temptations, depending upon how you want to translate the word in one of the most difficult passages in the Bible, which is James 1, 2 through, we're going all the way to humble people through this thing. It's quite a bunch of verses we have, but it starts out with one of the most difficult verses, and it is, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you come into trials, temptations, troubles of diverse kinds, of all kinds, for the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Wow. But if anyone lacks wisdom, that's an answer that goes right with that one before, because I look at that and say, consider it pure joy when you come into trials. Oh my gosh. I mean, what is that? Crazy? Joy? That reminds me of a grief share group that I ran for people who just lost a loved one. And about a third of the people who came, because the logo of it was turning mourning to joy. And it was right on the cover with 4-inch letters on the workbook. And they looked at it, threw the workbook into the wall, and marched out of the room swearing, I'm never going to have joy again in my life. Who are these people? Well, those that stuck with it found joy again. Because joy is about the presence of Jesus in our lives. It's the presence of the one who is in the trials with us. Amen? Yeah, that's the deal. It's hard for us to believe on a gorgeous morning like this that Hurricane Florence is flooding, wiping out an awful lot. We have a lot of friends and even family down there, and we haven't heard from them. We used to live in Virginia, and when a grasshopper jumped, we lost our electricity, so I'm guessing we don't have anything in that old place. So I was meeting with a patient, which I do a lot, this week, and she had a lot of stuff going on. And she said, this came to her, why, God, are the waters so deep? God said, because your enemies can't swim. Now, that isn't meant to be a riddle or a joke, but isn't that something? The waters are deep because your enemies can't swim. I think there are a lot of other words we could use or thoughts about our enemies and about our own trials today, and I want to go into this. If you've not read Growing Slowly Wise, Building Faith That Works by David Roper. David Roper is my favorite preacher, is my favorite writer, and he has a special retreat for pastor families out in Idaho, and we're planning to stay there soon as we drive out to see our kids who live in Oregon and Montana on either side of his place. So it's kind of a stopping off place for me, for us. So we've got this difficult verse, and Jesus talked a lot about these things. In this world we will have trials, tribulations, troubles, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Perhaps the most powerful thing he could have told us. So, joy, how does it work? Perhaps you're saying, trials are hell. This morning I realized something. I preach a lot, particularly in sermons at funerals, the 23rd Psalm. And we all know it. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. We're walking and we're getting through. I've come to believe, besides the fact that in valleys the rivers flow and the flowers grow, they're very fertile and that's where we learn the most, that actually life is primarily valleys. Life is primarily trials. Life is primarily temptations. Life is primarily that. I'm not going to say it's persecution. That is not necessarily a synonym, not cinnamon. I think trials are just common to man. The Beatitudes kind of talk that way, don't they? And so I've come to think that's not a negative view of life. That's life for a Christian. And the power of it is God is with us, that he'll never leave us or forsake us through this. So here's one definition. Joy is a supernatural delight in the person, purposes, and plans of God for all God's people. That's joy we can have with that. James was known for his humility. And we're going to be looking at that because the testing of our faith develops perseverance. And in that's a humbling process, isn't it? Humble yourself before the Lord under God's mighty hand, and in due time he will lift you up, 1 Peter 5 tells us. So what are these trials that we have? I mean, are there purposes? Does God have purposes for them? And I'm sure we can list them, and maybe one of the questions talks about that too. I'll just throw out a couple. For persevering, they use that word. For maturity, he uses that word to complete us. Complete us. I think that's in the end, right? When we see him face to face, we'll be complete with that one. To bring us to our knees, to humble us. Okay. So we can do that voluntarily, or we can do that under God's mighty hand, that in due time he will lift us up again. Purposes. They are to teach us to stay or to run. I used to run from trials whenever anything got tough. Somehow I found myself for a long time. I had a job resume that the fancy firms would say, you seem to change your job every 2 years. Do you have some sort of a special insurance plan or something that makes you do that? Or are you just running? I think they told me the truth. I think I was running. Once upon a time, people stayed forever in their jobs. That's the way the world was. Today, they say that you may 15 to 20 times a kid, millennial, is going to change their job. I don't know if that's because the jobs are changing so radically, so quickly, or mankind just can't handle it. We just can't stay. We have the attention span of a mosquito. They seem to have a lot of attention on me lately. Yeah, thank you very much. So, I used to run. But that would dislocate me. That would dislocate me from God's plans. It might even dislocate my body. It certainly dislocated my soul. We're going through top 10 purposes here. Bring us closer to Jesus with submission. I like that better. To break us. God desires a broken and contrite heart in us, right? That's what God desires. He told us that. Psalms 55. To bring us to a dead end. Uh-oh. Like the Red Sea, like the Jordan River when it was in rushing there. And what did it take? They had to step in the river before God would stop it. They had to pray and realize that God would do what they said and opened up the Red Sea. That's a hard end. That's maybe a dead end, but I think it's a hard end. It's to discipline us, not punish us. God took that on the cross. It's to teach us, and it's to reveal what to us? Himself. I think those are the purposes of storms. You may have a lot of others because you may have some very personal ones. It's to teach us maybe about pain. Now, pain is good, right? If you don't feel pain, you might turn into a leper. The leper's hands don't molt away. It's because they end up sticking them in places like fires, and they get infected and burn off. It's an awful disease, and it's a neurological disease. So that's a bunch of stuff about purposes and consequences. You know, we get into trials a lot, so let's remember that trials come as part of life. Consequences to what we do are not really trials, they're consequences. If we screw up, we're going to have consequences. If we sin, choose to sin, choose to suffer, you've heard that. That suffering may not be brought by God. It's a consequence we cause ourselves. Sometimes God does discipline us, though, if we're off the rails. What do we do then? Repentance first when we sin. Repentance first. Ever think it, in lowering yourself, you have less power for good? A Catholic priest back a few centuries ago said that we, in these consequences, in the trials, we need to lower ourselves. Some of you may know names like Eusebius. He was one of the first century characters right after the disciples. He said James was pure. It's about obedience. It's a foundation for our spiritual power. You see, James sought to understand what was going on. This book of his is a proverbial book. There's a lot of understanding in that, how we should deal with trials, how we should deal with our tongue, how we should deal with brothers and sisters. It's an important book we're going to be learning more and more about that we opened up last week. There are a lot of people who suffered back there, the martyrs, like Stephen, the first one, back in the first century. How about Isaiah, Jeremiah? They suffered. Paul, stoned, shipwrecked, flogged, prison. They learned. Paul, of course, we've been studying a lot, taught us how to respond in trials. Things like be content in a trial. Whoa. Because God will provide all we need, right? We can do all things through Him. The Yiddish. Mensch? Is that a Yiddish word? It's a Hebrew word. And it's about common sense, wisdom, do you think? What would be a better way to say that? Wow. Wow. So, sounds like we all ought to be one of those, right? I think we're going to suffer a lot of trials as we grow to be one of those. And that would be our response. We can react, we can run, we can go the other way, or we can go towards God and learn through the problems that we have in trials so that we grow. For in real pain, it's a condition for growth, isn't it? Trials are a condition for growth. In other words, we're going to have them to be able to grow in life. It's suffering that matures us. God says he loves us so dearly, and I suppose you've all heard the thing, then don't love me so much, Lord. I'm suffering a lot. So some people look at trials as a testing, but how about an intrusion? They're an intrusion in my life, but they're also an opportunity. Eugene Peterson, he wrote The Message. It's a paraphrase of the Bible, and I use it once in a while, but it's a paraphrase. It's not a word for word. It's not a translation. But he wrote something else on the Psalms that I commend to your reading called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. That's what our life should be. If we were a mensch, we would be having a long obedience in the same direction towards God, as if we were going to Jerusalem. Like every year at the Passover, everyone climbed the mountain towards Jerusalem. The Psalms of Ascent are about the climb to Jerusalem. And it's usually, and most of these Psalms of Ascent talk about God's presence, God's faithfulness in our trials. The Psalms of Ascent are about that. God's faithfulness, great is God's faithfulness, is... He's a great commentator, and it is really good on the Psalms. My first book was on the Psalms, and it came around a number of experiences that I had where God saved me when doctors had said I was not going to live, and or I had caused myself into a place where I was not going to live. Some of you receive my emails or my stories that I write about auto crashes, feudal tick diseases, grizzly bear attacks, waterfalls, plane crashes, church implosions. There are 10 big ones I've been through where I shouldn't have lived or I was going to take my own life. But God saved me out of those all. My angels are very tired. And they wish I wouldn't do this anymore. So sometimes there are consequences to what I do. So I am enjoying this book because I'm growing slowly wise, very slowly. C.S. Lewis would say, the only fatal flaw is giving up. So, trials. Consider it pure joy when you come into trials. I've slowly learned, and I got to a place where I began to recognize that in hardship, there's another one, James McDonald, one of my favorite preachers, who, by the way, is on the inner circle for Trump, but he can't stand going there anymore because Trump doesn't listen, as if that was new to you. Now, I voted for Trump. I love a lot of what he's doing. It's how he goes about life. But he said, this is not no extra cost for this. He said, Trump does not reflect. When you hear something, when somebody says something to you, when somebody hits you, you don't punch back, you reflect. He does not reflect. That's a fatal flaw. He does not reflect. So I thought that was pretty incredible. He reacts, right? So do we... When we come into trials, careful, we seek wisdom. That verse is right after that. Whenever you come into trials, seek God's wisdom, but don't doubt, and he will generously give it to you, right? Don't doubt, or you'll be like a wave blowing in the wind down in the hurricanes. That is not to say those people were doubting or that they were not people of faith down there. We're to remain under the trial until God releases us. There's the hardest part, is knowing, and I think we will know. One of the hardest trials I had, and a lot of you know about this, I've written about it, I was called to be the pastor of congregational care for a large Presbyterian church out here in Mequon. And we had a narcissistic, abusive pastor. And I learned that quicker than anyone else because I was very close to him. And there were four pastors. Three of them were fired, and I was the last one standing. So I had to lead this church and nearly 3,000 people through the pain and the spiritual blood on the walls and people leaving and people cursing and splitting off and forming their own churches. It's a brutal, brutal thing. Satan loves it. It happens almost every day in the United States, church splits. Well, I had to try to hold it together, and I counseled several hundred people. That's what I do. I'm a spiritual counselor. And I got to a point where I couldn't do it anymore, to a point where I had nothing left. And it was on Pentecost when we read from Acts 2 that the Holy Spirit came down and healed me of very, very deep clinical depression. And I became new again. One of the elders said, it was dark in the sanctuary and I could see a ring of fire around you. Literally, he said. And he didn't know any of this was happening. And so God healed me. He continues to. Because I stayed under. I stayed under until the church could go on its own. And so I've learned through that process that God really wants to use us. And this is how he uses us. As hard as it is. And that's why it's so important if anyone lacks wisdom, find it. Go for it. Be flexible, forgiving, peaceful, caring, humble, transparent, simple, gentle, gracious to the core as we seek his wisdom and he will show us the way. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, it's better to be in the house of mourning than in the house of dancing. A familiar verse for a couple of us. We took a course, a seminary course, that was just on that verse. What? It's better to be grieving than dancing? You don't learn when you're dancing. I mean, I can't dance, but we learn when we're in trial. We learn when we're in trouble. We learn when we're grieving. That's what Ecclesiastes means. Spurgeon said wisdom produced by God's workmanship in us. That's what he produces. Do you ask or cry? Why? Or is it the what and how that you're looking for? That's what you'll find when you ask for wisdom. Do you rejoice? Are you entrusting? Or are you refusing the trial? Get discouraged? That's okay. Because God is faithful. Don't get bitter. Don't complain and grumble. Don't blame. But let a brother in humble circumstances glory in his high position. And let the rich man glory in his humiliation. These are 9 through 11 in our verses today. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. So too the rich man's pursuit will pass away. In our humble circumstances, he's saying that's our high position. It's high in Christ, not in the world, right? And riches just blow away. We know that. Worldly riches. We've been talking about idolatry a lot in our Saturday mornings. You know, pick your idol. It, like grass, will blow away. And it will also keep us from finding humility. It'll keep us from finding God's plan. Because it keeps us diverted from his plan. Because all of that is vanity, right? Ecclesiastes as well. So how much more do we need to keep living like this? Rockefeller would say just a little bit more, right? So be rich in your low position. Rockefeller didn't like that. Near to God, holding his hand, and he will make our paths straight. We know that from Proverbs. So verse 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. We've been talking about this. So persevering under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God promised to those who love him. Crown of life. As we trust in him, right? Eternal life. The crown. We'll cast them. We'll cast them at his feet, because now we see him as he is. Wow. And we won't need crowns, will we? Yeah. I love what Job said in 23:10. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Whew. That's what it's about. To come forth as gold. Not that we can spend it, but that it's a special, it's a perfect thing. Augustine would say, transform your temptation. What? Transform your temptation. Take these trials, take these temptations, and let God transform you in them, is what he meant. Hang in there. Because no temptation or trial has seized you that's not common to man, right? God's faithful. He'll show you the way through. He'll show you the way out. So, some trials never end. You know that. The thorn in Paul's side. So, what does that mean? Maybe he loves us more. I don't know. Some trials just get worse and worse. Some can't walk as well today as they did yesterday. It just gets harder and harder. Is that because he loves us more and more? Or is he asking us to love him more and more? It's a thorn that we endure. God's grace is sufficient, though, right? His power made perfect in our weakness. When we're weak, he is strong, and we must rely upon that. To be content in our trials. So we go for the gold. We continue to pray. We seek godly counsel from another brother. We look for the prize, the eternal prize. We don't grumble. We keep walking. We're patient. We surrender. We're content. That's how we get this blessing. We don't get overwhelmed. We overcome. And so, as we look to God's faithfulness in these trials, we can share with one another how we're treading water, how we're getting through it all with God's help. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, guys.